G-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Finnegan and Donick. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David James here with you. Derek Mason is live in Las Vegas at the Circa Hotel ahead of the Titans matchup against the Raiders in Las Vegas on Sunday afternoon. Derek is situated by some sort of rave based on what we're hearing in the background. Derek has exercised self-control. He has stayed on the show for the past 2 hours, despite the fact that I imagine there are plenty of things drawing him toward whatever party is going on over there at the hotel. You can hear it in the background. But Derek, you told us earlier you have a wild story for us. And I said, don't tell us. Don't tell us. Save it for Ask D-Mace. By the way, if you have a question for Derek, call us, text us. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. If you have a question for Derek Mason. But Derek, you said you have a wild story for us, so I want to hear this wild story.
Yes, and first, I want to direct your attention to what I'm looking at. Can y'all see that?
You're on a delay that I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'm in anticipation here.
But is it
Chase McCabe at a phone party?
That is not a visual I really like to see.
That foam you saw in that white spot was Chase. No, okay.
Yesterday. Oh, okay. I know exactly where you are, D-Mace. I have been to this place.
Okay, so you know where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know exactly where I'm at. So, yes, that's my view. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. So I will paint the picture for those just listening. There is a rooftop there's a bunch of cabanas. You're on a rooftop, and they have these enormous scoreboards and TV screens that are thousands of feet wide and stuff. So they have one. You can put a bunch of games on them, or you can put one game on there. And, of course, they have all the betting lines up and down that you can bet on. And it's a pool party, basically. They just play music all day.
All day, as long as you want. But it is sprinkling a little bit here in Vegas, so I know that ain't dampening anybody's spirits because it's raining a little bit, but it is. So, yesterday, let me get to it. Yesterday, and before I say this, I want to personally thank everybody at Bridgestone. Every person that helped me yesterday at Bridgestone. They are some of the nicest and helpful people, from the security people to everybody, customer service. Everybody, they were so nice, and they were trying to be as helpful as they possibly could yesterday for me. So before I tell a story, I want to say thank you to everybody that was trying to help me last night in my situation that I found myself in that was ultimately fixed. It was ultimately dealt with. Everything was okay. So yesterday, after the show, you know, yesterday I came in bopping in the show. Everything was happy and fun. Everybody is hockey. It's opening night with the Nashville Predators. Who could be happier? Nobody but us, like Harbaugh says. So I'm bopping through the place, through the show. I said I'm about to head home, get dressed, you know, eat a little bit, and then come back to the game. Me and McCall come back to the game and enjoy a night of just watching the Preds win. Well, I got down to my car. And I grabbed the handle, and my door didn't open. Then I searched to my bag, and I realized that I didn't have my key. I had my key, I knew, when I got out of my car, but I didn't know whether I left it in my car or if I lost it somewhere in Bridgestone. So when I was supposed to be sitting in those beautiful seats that I had to watch this team have an awesome win, I was going in and out of Bridgestone looking for my car key the whole night.
Oof.
I didn't get a chance to relax. But even in all that, everybody at Bridgestone that I asked, they were more than helpful. They were so gracious. Nick, you did a what? Thank you. I text Nick Barnowski. I text him and told him what happened. With
a fellow
my kid
Spartan.
A fellow Spartan. I called him. I text him. He texted me back after the game. He said, you know what, Derek? Somebody turned your key in, and I'm going to get it to you ASAP. I said, thank you. At this time, I was already home now. I had already caught an Uber home. I'm relaxing. I had already called a tow truck, and they had to come. Here's the funny part. A service came out because I thought I locked my key in a car. So a service comes out, and they're trying to open up my door these crazy ways. They couldn't open it. They said, sir, don't you know you bought a tank? We cannot get in this thing. And I'm thinking like, okay, they can't get in. So I'm thinking like, I got to tow it. So I call a tow truck. Mind you, the ceilings are only so tall in Bridgestone's parking structure. So you know what, Willie? I couldn't get a conventional tow truck. Couldn't get one. So I had to call this specialized tow truck people. And the guy told me, he was nice too. He said, listen, we'll be there in an hour. He said, well, we may have some other stuff come up. He said, because of the game, we may have some. So, hour passed. I'm hopping in my car, call a guy, and he says, I am so sorry, man. We got two Metro jobs, and it's going to be at least another hour. So, now we're pushing into almost like 11 o'clock. So, Nick calls me and said, Derek, we have your key. Someone turned it in after the game. I said, thank you. I said, I will be up there ASAP to get my key. I took an Uber back. The security people came down. They gave me my key, and I was off and running. It was a long night. But I thank everybody at Bridgestone, everybody that helped me. Though, I mean, I couldn't have asked for any better help.
So
thank you.
So the person that found your key was not the same person that was running the parking garage at Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he and the buddy jumped in Ferris's, or I guess it was Cameron's dad's car.
Yes.
And they took the joyride.
Yes, those people were not manning the building.
they actually were very nice. They got the job done. Well, that is a good story.
I'll
tell you what, over the years, there have been times where somebody lost something, and I'm like, well, that's it. It's gone. You're never going to see that again. Only to actually have it turn up several times over the years. So there are good people out there,
yes,
that will actually turn something into security or the lost and found. So don't panic,
yes,
if you're that person, like D-Mace, who lost the key or some sort of valuable. They do a good job over there. They do a very good job over there.
So thank you, those folks at Bridgestone that helped me.
Good to hear. Glad to hear that you got your key back. Let's get to your questions for Derek, 615-737-1025. Call or text right now. Joey from Bellevue. My question is for both Derek and Willie. Joey says, I have a fear of flying. It's awful. Derek, you traveled a lot during your playing days, and Willie, you travel with the Predators. Were there any players who were also terrified of flying? And if so, does the NFL and NHL allow them to take anxiety medicine so they won't fail a potential test?
Wow, we never had anyone that had a fear of flying. Now, we had some guys, you know, maybe freak out a little bit on a turbulent flight. But we've never had anyone that had the fear of flying to a point where they had to, you know, take some type of medication. I'm sure that the NFL has rules in place if indeed that happens. And so what people got to understand is, those rules are in there for a specific reason, we understand, but there are ways around some of them if you have, you know, when it comes to medication. Because if you have a doctor's consent and there's a valid reason why, then the NFL tends to lean toward more of doing what's best for the player in that situation.
I will only share this story because he's written about it publicly. and he's now dedicated a lot of his life in his post career to helping people. But Adam, you remember Colin Wilson for the Predators?
I was going to share a Colin Wilson story.
Yeah.
So why don't you go first?
And I was flying with the team in those days. I wasn't aware of what he was going through, but he had a very, very he had OCD. I guess you still have it. You deal with it as you go forward, but OCD, right? Obsessive compulsive.
Correct.
Disorder.
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
So he chronicled in a, I think it was the Players Tribune, some of the struggles he had, and he would have to go through this routine to feel just okay about getting through it, because that's the problem as a player. When you have a fear of flying, especially for baseball or hockey or basketball, where you're constantly flying, there's only one way. You physically can't get to the games sometimes if you don't get on the plane, so you have to deal with it. But he struggled with that a lot, and it led to a lot of other things. And so if you want to read about it, you can Google it. But Colin has done some really good work in his post-career just trying to help people that have gone through similar experiences. But you wouldn't know it on the plane. Like, it's hard, right? You don't want to, it's just like anything else. You don't want to admit to all your peers that, hey, I'm struggling here. So he would find his ways to cope with it. But wow, that's what came to mind.
So when the Predators played the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the playoffs in 2018, Colin Wilson was a member of that Avalanche team. And I remember before that series started, we were in the dressing room at Centennial Sportsplex, and a reporter asked Pecorine, because what often happens when a player faces his former team in the playoffs, there's always a storyline of this player is going to go to the coaching staff and spill all the secrets, right? Like, I played over there. I know what they're going to do. I will lay it out for the coaches to help game plan against the former team. So a reporter asked Pecorine, you know, Colin Wilson plays for the Avalanche right now. He may be spilling some secrets as you prepare for the playoffs. If someone were to ask you for a secret about Colin Wilson, what would you say? And you know Pecorine, lovely man. I don't know if he quite understood the question. And he said, well, I would have to hold his hands during takeoff on our flights because he was afraid of flying. And Pekka didn't mean anything by it. But I will tell you that Colin was pissed because that got out. Pissed. That got out because he had not shared the story that you're referencing yet. He was really mad and said some funny things to me about the reporter in question, which I'm not going to share here because they're inappropriate. But you know, it's not like the
it's a real thing for the people that have it. I don't know why. What makes somebody afraid of?
Well, what was
flying,
the most famous example? John Madden, right?
Yes.
John Madden drove a bus. If I'm not mistaken, when Tony Kornheiser did Monday Night Football, he also, I think, is afraid of flying or does not prefer to fly. And I hate long car drives. I could not drive across the country. I don't love flying either, but I'm not necessarily afraid of it. But yeah, I mean, NFL teams, NHL teams, they fly luxuriously, but that doesn't make the experience any less frightening for some players. So I totally get that. Andrew from Dover on our text line. Again, if you have a question for Derek, 615-737-1025. D-Mace, I lost my grandfather the first day of vacation about 2 months ago. He was a huge Steelers fan, which leads me to my question, who was a scarier opponent, Ray Lewis or James Harrison?
Ooh.
Listen, scarier? Man, both of them, I mean, if you're trying to go to the middle, both of them scary. But I've never got hit by Ray in a sense of, like, it was like, ooh. It was always just a tackle. But it wasn't the other way with old boy from Pittsburgh. I was running a quick out. I remember this like it was yesterday. I was running a quick out from the inside slot position against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And boy, oh boy, when I turned around, I thought it was just going to be a routine catch and turn up the field. Little did I know that James Harrison was sitting right there too. And as soon as my hands contact the ball, his shoulder pads contacted my chest. And the ball ended up on the ground. And it ended up being fourth down. It wasn't going to be a first down anyway, but man, oh man, did that hurt. So, yeah, I would tend to fear James Harrison a little bit more.
One texter wants to know, since you are in Las Vegas, red or black on roulette?
Ooh. Oh, red or black. Red or black. I don't know, man. I'm not a roulette player. But give me black. I'm going black.
Wesley Snipes.
What put $100,000 on black.
What was Wesley Snipes? What movie was that when he said, always bet on black?
Wasn't that...
What was that movie?
It wasn't the vampire movie, was it?
No,
I think it was the Wesley Snipes 90s movies.
They run together from
Passenger 57.
Yes.
It was Blade.
That's it.
It was Blade.
Passenger 57.
Oh, was it Passenger 57?
Always bet on black.
Yeah. I thought he said that in Blade. Hey, Wesley was the joint back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Major League, Wesley Snipes, Willie Mays Hayes. Just can't beat it.
Let's go to Frankie on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Frankie, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, my lost and found story was I was down at the Oak Grove Casino in front of Fort Campbell. Got up from a slot machine, left my iPhone, went to security. They dialed it immediately, went straight to voicemail. Somebody had it, was going to try to steal it. Later on that night, I got on another phone, and it showed Find My Phone was about 15 miles north. And the next morning, they opened the phone, turned it on, and a message popped up, said, you need to contact this person. He has a lost phone. And I guess the guy got scared because I sent the cops up there the night before, banged on his door. He called me, met me at Tractor Supply, and I got my phone back. So always keep Find My Way on your phone.
Thank you, Frankie.
To Find My Way, how many phones have been saved or AirPods?
I guess what Derek needs to do is get an AirTag, an Apple AirTag, and put it on your keychain in case this happens again.
I have Apple AirTags on certain things, especially when
now
I,
you got to put
I
them
travel.
On your keys.
Yeah, I have it on the key. If I found a way to glue it onto the key, I would. If I didn't think it would harm the key, I would glue it onto the key.
I think you may need to put an AirTag on Chase and Big Joe this weekend.
That is a smart idea.
And just like, where's Waldo? Just
find my
throw a dart.
My boss? Find the suit.
Yes. Who knows what Chase and Big Joe are up to right now in Las Vegas.
They may be by the pool right now. They may be by
They
the
may
pool,
be
Larry.
At the phone party. We'll never know. We'll never know.
Where, do you have a game of choice, D-Mace? Do you play the slots or the...
The last time I was in a casino and actually played, I was at Paradise Island, and this was when the kids were younger. And for some reason, I got on a blackjack table. And I don't know, it must have been my night because I won. And I played once after that. But usually, I'm not a blackjack guy or tables guy or slot guy.
Yeah, I'm not much of a betting man either.
I cannot get into it. Every time I go to Vegas, I have fear of losing money or something. I'm not that interested in digging in. I think that I'm not good. I haven't studied how to play, and so I'm just like, don't do it. Just don't do it.
I quickly have one Las Vegas story that I can share. So
he has previewed this story, D-Mace. I want you to pay attention. I want you to just close your eyes and visualize this.
Okay. So several years ago, I went to Las Vegas to cover a Predators Golden Knights game. And I invited my now wife, and my parents also came. So we made a little family getaway out of it. And we decided as a family to go see the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show, which I think was, I don't know if it's MGM Grand. I can't remember which hotel. But we couldn't get tickets to the earlier performance, which was around 7 or 7:30. So we got tickets to the later performance, which was around 9, 9:30. Now, keep in mind, I had flown from Nashville to Las Vegas early in the day. It was a busy day. I did have to work the Predators practice that day. I had to write a story about it.
It's a business trip.
It's a business trip. So I was tired, but I wanted to see this show. And it was a fabulous show. But at one point during the show, I could feel myself nodding off. And I
tried. It couldn't have been that great a show then.
I tried really hard to stay awake. I ultimately nodded off. And when I shook myself off to wake up, it was during the Thriller performance. And a lot of the performers were dressed as zombies. They had, you know how sometimes with these shows.
Well,
they,
we all saw the video Thriller. I mean, so they were all dancing around the zombies.
So they were in the aisleway, and I was seated on the aisle. So I woke up, and I just saw this Cirque du Soleil performer in zombie getup gyrating just inches from my head, and I freaked out. It was not quite the scene from Knocked Up where Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd go to Vegas and take shrooms and go to a Cirque du Soleil performance, but it was pretty close. So that was my Las Vegas.
Did you sense that the crowd was having fun at your expense at that point?
I don't think anybody noticed.
Nobody noticed?
I don't think the
what
zombie.
What about the people sitting around you? What about
I
your parents?
I don't think the zombie saw that I was asleep and tried to. I think it was just a coincidence.
You don't think they were like, hey, look at this guy. He's falling asleep at our show. I'm going to show him.
Are we going to make sure we get him?
Yeah. You know that that's what happened.
Hey, when Adam was telling the story, I did close my eyes. You know how I pictured it? You know in those commercials when they start talking about a person and they add people in and they're like, bling, bling, bling?
Yeah.
That's how it was on Adam. He was like, well, I went to Vegas and I took my wife, bling, and my wife's family, bling, bling. And I pictured a minivan. Them getting in a minivan on a strip. There you go.
615-737-1025. If you have any questions for Derek, you can still get them in at 615-737-1025. We will also revisit the Predators season opening win against the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Yossi at the blue line for Forsberg, right circle. Low right, turning now. Oh. O'Reilly. And O'Reilly, a beautiful backhander up into the net.
Wow.
Absolutely gorgeous, and the Predators tally on the power play to take a 2-1 lead.
That, of course, was Pete Weber on the call last night, calling Ryan O'Reilly's game-winning power play goal early in the third period. Predators win 2-1 last night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Nashville will be back in action tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, a 7 o'clock puck drop against the Utah Mammoth in a prehistoric matchup. The saber-toothed tiger and, I guess, the mastodon? Something along those lines. Either way, Mammoth and Predators tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. But we opened the show talking about the Predators' win. We focused on UC Saros, who was excellent last night. 37 saves on 38 shots. He stole the game for the Predators, saved about two goals more than he should have based on the quality of chances that the Columbus Blue Jackets had. And, of course, it being a one-score game, that means UC Saros stole the game for the Predators last night. But let's focus on the other major storyline in the game, Willie Donick, and that is the NHL debut of Brady Martin. As you may have heard, once or twice or 10 times, Brady Martin was the second youngest Predators player in franchise history to make his NHL debut behind Scott Hartnell 25 years ago. Brady Martin played roughly 13 minutes, 2 of 7 in the faceoff circle, no shots on goal, had a block shot, a couple of giveaways. I would say, Willie, that was what I would have expected from Brady Martin's NHL debut. I think he said after the game that he really got a feel for the strength of NHL players, that he needs to hit the gym a little bit more to handle that, which totally makes sense when you're 18 years old playing in the NHL. But what did you make of Brady Martin's NHL debut? What stood out to you, both good, and what are you looking for from him as the as the season goes on here in the next couple of weeks.
I thought he held his own. I thought he flashed. You could see why he would be a high first-round pick to be able to do what he did at 18. In the first period, in fact, there were a couple of plays where it didn't register as a shot on goal, but he was maybe in position to where if he gets a bounce, he could have had a great scoring chance or a goal. He was just a tick off. I think the dilemma going forward is what they're going to have to figure out, because as the game wore on, his line was having some trouble matching up. This is something we touched on in the first hour of the show. They were having some trouble keeping up with Columbus's first line, which is really, really dynamite, dynamic. And they had to adjust a little bit as the game wore on. But I thought Andrew Brunette did a great job sticking to it and finding ways to continue to get him out there some. Because I was wondering, because I have seen it where a coach, not just Andrew Brunette, but a lot of coaches would say, okay, this kid is a little bit over his head. He's struggling. Let's shorten the bench and let's just not put him in there. They did take him at times off of the first line and spot Steven Stamkos on the line with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. But by and large, they kept finding ways to get him in there. They got him a little bit in there on the second power play. So I thought it overall was a very positive experience for him. The question is, can he stay in that role night in, night out, all season? I think that's a lot to ask, especially if you're thinking he's a top six guy. So that's what they have to discuss internally, I think, as they try to sort this out while they have the nine games to play with. I think he's, at this point, he's going to get in those nine games somewhere along the line. Is it going to be the first nine? I don't know. Are they going to spot him, you know, sit him out? Once Luke Evangelista becomes eligible, and I haven't heard anything new on that today, you know, as soon as he gets the green light, he will be in there. So he'll take somebody's spot, whether that's Martin or Joachim Kemmel, who flashed a couple times yesterday, but is still a really young player who could use some seasoning. But I think this is what Andrew Brunette is going to have to navigate. I think he's got a defensive formula and a goalie that will keep them in games. But the young guys, as they're trying to find their way, I think he's going to have nights kind of like last night. He's got to gauge what are my really young guys giving me, and what nights are they just not going to give me much.
Yesterday we had Elliot Freeman on the program. We were talking about Brady Martin, and he told a story about Mike Richards. Mike Richards was part of those LA Kings Stanley Cup winning teams in 2012 and 2014, I believe both of them, if I'm not mistaken. And he was telling a story about Mike Richards when he first got to the NHL. He played center. And how just he got his butt kicked early on against these top centers that he was facing. And I'm looking at the Predators' upcoming schedule. They play Utah tomorrow. They go on the road all next week. Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg. And I'm thinking of some of the other top centers who Brady Martin could be matched up against next week. In Ottawa, you have Tim Stützle or Dylan Cousins. In Montreal, you have Nick Suzuki. In Toronto, you have Austin Matthews or John Tavares. In Winnipeg, you have Mark Scheifele and Jonathan Toews. So I think it's a good test for young Brady Martin against some of these well-established NHL veteran centers. Derek, you have a question for us about the Predators.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to ask Willie, how do you think, because I thought I heard either Mace mention something about it, or it may have been you, Willie, or during intermission. It may have been intermission. It may have been Hal and Lindsay, about how they protect the young guy. That's what I talked about with the Titans. How do you protect your young assets?
Yes.
As they continue to develop? Because the last thing you want to do is throw them out there and not have a plan and not protect them as a young guy and end up doing more harm than good. So how do you think they protected him yesterday? And then moving forward, how do you think they do that?
I think it's a great question, and it's something they are definitely being mindful of. It's easier to do at home. And I noticed a few times they would put him out there if the faceoff was in the offensive zone. In other words, if the faceoff is right in front of the opposition's goalie and you have a chance to win a faceoff and get an offensive chance, and if you lose the faceoff, at least the other team's not in a position to score right away, that's a position where you can get him in there. They call it, Adam, sheltering, right? You can notice that on a stat sheet if you look closely enough of a player being sheltered, right?
Right. So
I would imagine you will see some of that with Martin.
Players are sheltered. You can look at where they start, as Willie just said, where they start their shifts. So players like Michael McCarron, for example, or Eric Halla, quote unquote, bottom six centers, they tend to have more defensive assignments. So they will, when the puck is dropped in the defensive zone, they will be the ones taking those faceoffs. More offensive-minded players who have limitations to their defensive games will start in the offensive zone furthest away from their own end to try to create offense. I don't have the breakdown of how many O-zone draws Brady Martin took last night, but that is something to keep an eye on.
And the best players can do both, right? Ryan O'Reilly would be an example of a good two-way guy that you want him wherever you can get him in there. Eric Halla had an excellent night in the faceoff circle last night, taking a lot of D-zone draws. But that I hope that answers your question, Derek, because it is definitely something. They want to put him in a position to succeed. I think at home you can do it more. You mentioned top centers. Logan Cooley is a great young center that is very dynamic.
Who plays for Utah.
So you have to deal with him tomorrow. The other thing that Andrew Burnett has to deal with is his number two center, Fedor Svechkov, also a very young player. He's further along than Brady Martin, but he's only 22. Svechkov had some good plays last night, some good looks, but by and large, if you look at his possession numbers, his quality, expected goals for, it wasn't good. That line struggled, which is also part of the reason I think they moved Steven Stamkos up to try to get him in some better spots, because that's an awfully young line, Svechkov and Kemmel with Stamkos. But, Adam, I think that's what I see going forward as a challenge for this team is can this work, this spreading out of the veterans and putting some really young players in the mix? How can that work? Now, Evangelista should be further along. He should help push one of these lines along a little bit. But I think, like you said, on that road trip, that's when you don't control the matchups, and that's when you really got some tough spots that they're going to be in, and we'll see if they hold their mud.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Predators are back at home tomorrow night against the Utah Mammoth. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. We will wrap up the show and the week coming up next by taking it to the bank. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It's the end of the week, so it's time to take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Before we make our selections for the week, and Willie is in charge of our common questions for the week, let's recap how we did last week, David Janes, if you will.
All right, boys, so let's start off with the primary questions, general questions that we sent out. Adam, you asked the question of Elk Iomener over under 3.5 receptions versus the Arizona Cardinals. That did not happen. But we all said over, so we all don't get any points on that one. The next one was, will the final score of Vanderbilt versus Alabama, which was 11.5, be within single digits? We were so close, Willie. Me and you both had the...
I've tried to erase this from my memory. That last play.
We goodness. Had it.
It was, I was there, and like when I saw him running that touchdown, I was like, gosh dang it. Like, why do we have to do that?
So, I don't know. It was so odd how, because you asked it in such a weird way, Adam, like, so it was looming. It wasn't like a point spread. It was, will it be double digits one way or the other? And of course, it's 9
I think the specific question was
on the last play, basically.
I think the specific question was, will the final score of Vanderbilt, Alabama, regardless of who wins, be within single digits?
Yeah. And
it was until a fourth and two play that the game was over. Was
like, I will take the front door cover.
It was like less than a minute. D-Mace, you also had the under, I thought I heard, or the over, I thought. You said it was so D-Mace and Adam both got points, and me and Willie, unfortunately, did not get points off that. Now, though, let's go to the other points. Adam, you said Marvin Harrison Jr. would get a touchdown.
I was robbed. Robbed.
He had already sent the text.
Got it.
Yeah, he said, point right there.
It was called a touchdown initially.
It was. Everybody celebrated.
Yes.
They put it up on the TV.
I was robbed.
Listen, you got to wait for the umpire, the official.
Every play is reviewed. Exactly. Every scoring play is reviewed.
I was robbed.
Spotted at the one.
Listen, the official makes the final call. That's fair enough.
I mean, I'm not disputing it. I just think
I know,
was robbed.
I know. And you also, but you didn't get robbed on this. Clemson over UNC minus 13.5. You got points off of that.
That was covered in the first quarter, by the way.
It was bad.
28-3 after the first quarter.
So you got four total points from the week for a total of 27 points.
I'll take it.
Right now, you're in second place.
Hot diggity.
Now, let's go to Willie. Sorry. Willie, you said Miami minus 4.5 over Florida, which happened.
And they almost blew that one. They were way ahead, and Florida State made it more interesting than it really was.
And then you also said Texas A&M minus 16.5.
Thank you.
Dr. Crane was not happy with you on that pick. But you got a point off that. So you have six total points for a total of 39 points.
Yes.
Now, D-Mace, this is going to you. D-Mace, you said your Detroit Tigers, your beloved Detroit Tigers who play this week or play today.
Yes, a big one for the Tigers tonight.
The Mariners on Saturday, they did. It was a close one, a 4-3 win. And then you also said Diego Pavia would have two touchdowns or be a part of two touchdowns, and he did not get two touchdowns. He wasn't a part of two touchdowns, so sorry. But you got 3 points. So you have four total points for 19 total.
Hey, that means I'm still moving. I'm still digging dirt.
You're still in there, D-Mace, but you're still alive.
At this point, D-Mace, you need to pick up the pace. If you're going to defend your title.
You're slacking right now.
You are the defending champion, but you are in trouble right now.
So what you're saying, I need to get a bulldozer?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Now, to me, I had my Memphis Tigers over Tulsa to cover 20.5. They did. I mean, it was without a doubt.
Memphis is playing good ball.
Guess what, guys? You know who the only team to be bowl eligible is? The Memphis Tigers.
Okay. Are they going to make the playoff? That's the question,
there's
right?
A chance.
There is a chance.
They got Tulane, which is a really good team as well. I mean, again, sorry, Adam. But, you know, there's a good chance that they might be it. And then I also said the under 40.5 for the Texans versus Ravens game. The over it was easy money apparently. You know, but, you know, whatever. Ravens suck.
So how many points do you have?
I got 3 points. For a total of 26 total points, and I am in third place right now.
Okay, so the standings are Willie, me, David, Derek.
I have no complaints with the commissioner this week. Now that is an upset. That's an upset.
Standings, okay, we don't need to go over the standings.
Okay. Well,
I love hearing the standings right now.
So, Willie, you are in charge of the two common questions. Titans at Raiders, one of those questions has to be Titans related. What are we picking from this week?
All right, I've got two on the Titans game that I think will be a big part of the story of how they do. A, Max Crosby, best pass rusher for the Raiders. He's a dynamic player. And J.C. Latham coming back for the Titans, and they're coming off one of their best pass protecting games in years. Now, that is pretty scary to say. So, over or under 1.5 sacks for Max Crosby. If he gets one, if you told me right now he gets one sack, I might say, okay, I'll sign up for that. You got to keep him from having the big game and disrupting everything. So, over or under 1.5 sacks for Max Crosby for the Raiders.
I am going to take the under.
Really? You're an optimist?
I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
See, that half is scaring me. Because he can fall into a – guy wraps him up and he tackles him too, and now he's a part of the sack.
So I guess we need to declare it now because you can get a half a sack.
Yes, you can.
It could be a push. It could be a neutral. So if he gets 1.5, It's a push.
Okay, so
you'll still get the points.
Oh, so the commissioner is deemed. He just gave everybody gets points.
No. If they get that 1.5, they still you get. If you had the over, you still get the point.
What? That's exactly. Okay. That's exact. It's not over. that's exact.
All right. You know what? I'll figure it out whenever it happens.
It should be the same for everybody.
I'll decide when it happens.
I am taking the under.
Again, not see, I was going to have a week. I spoke too soon. Now I got to be for the commissioner.
Derek is also taking the under.
Yep. He's taking the under. I'll take the over.
David?
I got to take the over because I got to beat Adam. I got to get the over.
Okay. Second question.
Calvin Ridley has been, like he was last year, feast or famine. Slow start. Busted out with a big game last week. So his average, even though there's, if you did the graph, it's way up or way down, is 54 yards per week. So we are going to go over or under his average for the year. Will he have over or under 54.5 yards receiving on Sunday? 54.5, over or under for Ridley?
I will take the over.
I'm going the over too. With confidence.
Believer in Ridley.
I don't believe in Ridley. I'm going under.
You're going under? I'm going over. I think he 54, just one big play, and we know how Cam Ward likes to attack down the field. One big play could get you a lot. He doesn't have to catch a ton of balls there. So I will say over.
Okay. So now to the individual portion of the competition. Geno Smith leads the NFL with 9 interceptions. And I say the Titans get another one on Geno Smith. So mark me down for another Geno Smith interception against the Tennessee Titans. Let's see. I don't know who's going to do it. It could be anybody. But give me a Geno Smith interception because that's what he's been doing. And I'm going to stick with the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts, let me find that game. The Indianapolis Colts are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Arizona Cardinals. After what I saw last week, that to me is the type of loss that sends a team straight down the toilet. So I think the Colts are going to cover easily at home. I say the Colts win by double digits at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Willie?
Okay. I am going to say in the winner-take-all game tonight, Mariners-Tigers, which is out in Seattle. Tigers have rallied to get back. It's been a good series. It's gone back and forth. They've got an absolutely nasty pitcher going tonight, and Tarek Skubal. I will say Skubal, double-digit strikeouts tonight. Take it to the bank against the Mariners.
Okay. One more?
One more. This is one I have been... Yeah, I'm not going to pick the winner. I'm gonna say that Skubal will do his job, and then it's a matter of whether they can score any runs. This, it may be tough to score, period, tonight. And then I will say that the Brewers will find a way to eliminate the Cubs in Game 5, which is tomorrow. Winner take all. The Cubs lost the first two games in Milwaukee, won both at Wrigley. They're going back to Milwaukee for the last game. So two dramatic game fives in Major League Baseball. So I will go with the Brew Crew. Shout out to all the former Sounds going up there. Go Brewers in game 5.
Derek, your two choices.
All right. The Titans found themselves in a position where they finally was able to get to the quarterback last week. That's a good thing because they hadn't gotten to the quarterback much. So you know what? I think it's going to be 2 weeks in a row. I think this team will have 2 or more sacks against the Las Vegas Raiders and Geno Smith.
The bar is low for that. That's not great.
They don't get Willie. They don't get sacks. What are you talking? Willie, how many sacks do they average? How many sacks do they average a game?
I don't know. Two?
Zero.
Do they average two?
Give me a moment.
I don't know.
No, they don't average two. They probably average a sack and a half a game.
Give me a moment as I keep muting myself.
I'll look it up because I've made my picks, Adam. So, I will find it.
Yes, that I'm going with that. And then I'm going with the Tigers. I got to go with them. They will get a victory. Take it to the bank.
The Titans are averaging 1.4 sacks per game.
Okay, so it would be above average. Okay, so I'll give you that.
There we go.
We'll give you two.
Got a whole two sacks.
That's how bad did a quarterback, Willie. When you think, when I think two sacks is a lot, you should know that they ain't been getting no sacks, Willie.
David, your two choices.
All right, so I'm going to do go LSU over South Carolina. I think LSU is going to have a bounce back, and they're going to like look a little bit better than they have been. And then also, these are two teams I just do not like. I don't like the Brewers. I don't like the Cubs. But you know what? I love the Nashville Sounds. Give me the Brew Crew, baby.
Okay.
The Brewers.
There we go.
The winningest team in baseball during the regular season. They play the game the right way. But they are still considered underdogs, right? And they would have to play the Dodgers, who have got it all, right? They are the biggest payroll, all the defending champs, the superstars, all of that. That would be a really fun series to watch.
Well, we will see how it all unfolds over the weekend. We hope you had a wonderful week with us. We sure had a wonderful week with you. We will be back a little bit later on Monday. Predators play the Ottawa Senators at noon on Monday. So we are going to start our show after that. So I would say roughly 3:30. On Monday, but we will be back on Monday afternoon to react to the Titans game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Mason, don't get yourself into any trouble. We hope to see you back in Nashville and all of you roughly 3:30 on Monday.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. We love you. You hear that music. You hear it. Don't forget about us because you know what? We will be back. Monday, a little bit later, just 30 minutes later, but a little bit later. Can't wait to see you. Peace.